Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Employee benefit costs continue to climb with HUB International's 2026 Benefits Cost Trends Report projecting sustained upward pressure across medical, pharmacy, dental, and vision coverage. Nationally, medical and pharmacy costs are expected to rise by as much as 10 to 12%, with pharmacy spending emerging as the primary driver. As employers plan for the year ahead, insurers and brokers face growing pressure to help clients strike the right balance between affordability, personalization, and long-term sustainability in their benefits strategies. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best Audio, and joining us now to discuss that and other key findings from the report is Kirsten Bott, National Director of Actuarial Services and Financial Consulting at HUB International. Kirsten, welcome. It's so great to speak with you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Lori. It's great to be here today.
Kirsten, the report projects medical and pharmaceutical trends climbing as high as 10 to 12% nationally. What's driving these persistent cost increases, and how are insurers helping employers manage them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of things coming into play related to the cost increase. As you mentioned earlier, the pharmacy costs continue to rise. Right now, they represent, or the pharmacy piece of budget typically represents 20 to 30% of the budget, and sometimes they can get up to 50% of total costs. We've also got heavy GLP-1 utilization across the board, and it's specifically growing in the non-diabetic portion population. The other thing coming into play is large claim increases. So million-dollar claims continue to rise. I recently read something that indicated the number of million-dollar claims has increased about 60% in the last 4 years alone. So you're just thinking about how that can really impact things. That million-dollar claim used to be so rare, and now it's becoming more and more common. The other thing here is just lots of gene therapies continue to hit the market. I think there were 5 this year and another 7 or so anticipated next year. And some of those can come in with a ticket price of $2, $3, and $4 million. And then layer on top of that, just general inflation, and it all really starts to add up fast. So then circling back to what can employers do, I think the first step is to really understand the population, the data, and the employer's goals around their benefits and total compensation strategy. So these goals, I think we typically see employers are balancing this between, you know, focusing on the bottom line and fighting between that and the best in class benefits package. And they, of course, create friction between the two, right? If you're trying to have best in class coverage, it's of course going to be more expensive than those that will be less quality. So again, thinking about based on the population, the data, and the goals, consultants can then work with their employers to build out a strategic roadmap together. Employers need to understand, of course, their data, but also what levers are available to pull and what their members might need, and decide what makes sense and when. So there's a few different ways to go about this. There's, you know, the basic approaches like plan designs, increase the stop loss deductible, evaluating networks, or even contribution strategies. But that one alone, going back to that push-pull that I was mentioning with best in class versus bottom line, that's directly doing that. If you're pushing more cost to the employees on the contribution strategies, of course, that's increasing the cost from the employee perspective and might not be perceived as quality of benefits as the employer might want. And then you can kind of move into more advanced strategies like different risk arrangements such as ICHRAs, captives, or even self-funding. And then there's the idea of carving out certain benefits such as GLP-1s for non-diabetics or even gene therapies. And then lastly, here we could consider optimizing site of care by shifting things from higher cost settings like outpatient and ER into lower cost settings like an ambulatory surgical center, or of course, PCP and urgent care is obviously more affordable than an emergency setting.
With pharmacy costs cited as the most critical cost driver, what strategies is the industry using to help clients control specialty drug spend?
Yeah, that's a good point. And again, first step is to understand the population data and their goals. And then from there, I think there's options like biosimilar strategies, accessing pass-through contracts, or even disease management programs such as weight management, specifically thinking of GLP-1 spend. I know it's not technically a specialty drug, but boy, that utilization, everybody is seeing it on their top pharmacy spend. So coming up with a strategy that works for employers, whether it's let's carve it in and think about the long-term effect, or potentially carve it out so that it's only eligible for that diabetic population.
Kirsten, with dental and vision costs on the rise, how are employers adjusting plan design and contribution strategies to balance affordability and value? And how is HUB supporting your clients in this effort?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So thinking about dental and vision, as you saw in the trend study, that the trend there for both was, you know, 4 to 5% for dental, 2 to 3% for vision. But then the other piece, when you think about that total budget and the portion of dental costs and vision costs versus overall, and really a lot of our employers are focused on what's the bigger thing at play here. And it typically is bringing that focus back to the medical and pharmacy and not so much on the dental side or even vision. And even within those benefits, there's far less flexibility on the plan designs. There's only so much you can do. And I think the focus there could be, again, thinking about shifting the contribution strategies. But really our employers that we're working with are focused on that bigger ticket item with the medical and pharmacy costs as a bigger way to bend their overall trend on their budgets.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
The report emphasizes persona-driven and personalized benefits strategies. How are insurers and brokers using data analytics to tailor benefit offerings to workforce needs?
Yeah, and as I've mentioned all along, it's so important to understand the employer's population and then within that, their persona-driven insights. So this might be focusing on understanding the basics of who's at the employer, who's on the plan. This could be things like understanding the age, gender, years of service, maybe plan distribution, financial fragility, and honestly, even proximity to grocery stores, providers, and pharmacies can all kind of play a role into that. So understanding what the employees might need is the first step. And then the next layer is to dive into the claims data to really understand what's going on. So within the data analytics piece, HUB uses something called an infused analytics platform. We can dig into an unfathomable amount of data, and we've got multiple different facets of our specialty practices coming in and looking at data, whether it's the actuarial and financial consulting practice, clinical, pharmacy, health and performance, and really having all of these lenses look at the data and seeing a different story and then coming together to figure out what's going to make sense for this group can be so impactful to really have those strategic conversations. We can understand things like utilization patterns, severity. We can target certain conditions or understand what's going on within a specific plan, medications, site of care, and just the comorbidities. It's truly endless. So once we start to understand the population, their needs, what's actually going on in the data, we can really bring these data-driven insights to our clients and build that stronger roadmap together. So examples of that might be, you know, implementing a solution to target certain conditions like MSK or diabetes, maybe navigating plan changes based on utilization between plans or even within one as you start to understand, you know, how many people are hitting the deductible, how many are hitting the out-of-pocket maximum. Is there a way to start to steer toward better quality providers? And just, it's truly endless what we can do.
Well, Kirsten, regional differences in cost trends continue to widen. How can insurers and brokers help employers navigate these variations as they plan budgets for the new year? And how are you helping your clients address these challenges?
So I think that variation can be due to a handful of things. And one of the reasons might just come down to some regions tend to be more heavily fully insured, whereas others tend to be self-insured. And I think that could be creating the variation. There's also carrier profitability goals coming into play. I know one of the big carriers that we partner with this year had some pretty high renewals coming into the 2025 year. And they had actually specifically said it was a result being traced back to COVID even this many years later. And then there might just be, you know, some regions, some carriers purely are hitting harder than others. But the biggest thing to plan for the budgets is to really be aware of what's going on. So I always recommend doing regular monitoring of budgets so you can understand, you know, what you expected versus what's actually going on. And really doing like a preliminary budget setting process, which, you know, if it's for a January renewal, I like to do that in Q2 to start to understand what's coming as we go into the year. And, you know, if it's a worse renewal than you might expect based on your other monitoring, you've got time to pivot and form a new strategy if you need to, which then it brings us back to those levers I talked about earlier. Maybe it's plan changes, contributions, networks, alternative funding arrangements, whatever it might be. But I think starting earlier and being aware of what's coming and allowing you time to think and strategize is just what's so important. And again, thinking back to the access to data, when we've got the claims level detail and all the proper lenses in place with actuarial, clinical, pharmacy, we can really proactively understand the data and potentially mitigate or shift that risk.
Kirsten, as we move into 2026 and beyond, how do you see benefits cost trends evolving? And what innovations or policy shifts could help slow the pace of medical and pharmaceutical inflation?
Yeah, Lori. So based on everything I'm seeing, I just unfortunately wouldn't expect the trend to go down anytime soon. With the gene therapies hitting the market, like that is absolutely wonderful, but of course it's expensive. Then we've got GLP-1s continuing to expand, evolve, and become more affordable, which kind of on the other hand, we've got this increased number that might be using GLP-1s offset by the decreased cost barrier. I'm kind of anticipating a stabilized total cost between the two. We've also got AI and robotics coming into the facility setting. You know, again, that's great. That's a fantastic advancement, but it comes with a cost. And then the other piece is thinking about government subsidies and how they'll shake out on the individual side. There may be a shift from the individual coverage over to commercial side. And I would anticipate those coming over is going to be the unfavorable risk, right? As the healthy people can likely go without coverage, but the sick people cannot. So thinking about ways to bend the curve, I think the first thing that came to mind is, I wouldn't necessarily call it innovation, but I've said it all along, is to shift toward an alternative funding arrangement, whether it's captive, self-funding, and ICHRAs. Maybe leaning into that transparency data that's available to start to understand costs by category and provider. You know, steering to the right provider and network. I know there's been an increased focus in becoming aware of quality providers and not just the quality facility, because you could go to a high quality facility and see a low quality provider. And I think there's been a push to really focus on find that high quality provider no matter where they are. You know, site of care optimization, of course, is a big one. And then if I got to choose, I would find a way to redo provider reimbursements. I don't have the perfect solve, but if there was a way to encourage quality, efficiency, and the lowest cost with all stakeholders involved, and finding a way for them to not find a loophole in their profitability measures, I think that would be the dream. Of course, I haven't solved it. I don't think anybody has quite yet, but working toward that, I think, could make a difference. You know, we've got policies like Trump RX having a favorable impact on trend. And finally, potentially the last thing we could think about is carving out offerings, like carving out gene therapies or GLP-1s for non-diabetics from the plan. But that really brings us back to that friction I've kind of mentioned all along with that bottom line versus best-in-class benefit offerings. And it's really going to come down to the employer and their consultant to figure out what makes sense for you, what's the best strategy for you. And, you know, is it the cost? Is it the best benefits? And really working together to understand where they want to go.
Kirsten, this has been so interesting, so informative, and it's been such a pleasure speaking with you today. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us and speak with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Lori. I appreciate the time from you as well.
That was Kirsten Bott, National Director of Actuarial Services and Financial Consulting at HUB International. For AM Best Audio, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day.
Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.